The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter number 52, Texts number 6 through 11, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on December 10th, 2012, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Niyamane dhane gobhi nribhi sha archuta shoditai ajagama jarasandha traya vinshati anika pa Niyamane dane gobhir
Niyamane dane gobhir
Nirbishchachuta choditai Ajagama jarasandhas
Ajagama jarasandhas
Trayovingshatyanikapa Niyamane dane gobhir
Niyamane dane gobhir
Nirbhishchachuta choditai Ajagama jarasandhas
Ajagama jarasandhas
Trayovingshatyanikipa Niyamane
Niyamane
As it was being taken,
taken.
Dhane, the wealth,
gobhi,
by oxen,
nribhi,
by men, cha,
and
achyuta, by Lord Krishna, shoditai,
engaged.
Ajagama
came there.
Jarasandha.
Jarasandha.
Traya.
Three.
Vingshati.
Plus 20.
Anika of armies.
Pa.
The leader. Translation by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. As the wealth was being carried away by oxen and men under Lord Krishna's direction, Jarasandha appeared at the head of 23 armies. Now we'll continue reading a few more texts up to 11, and including Vilokya Vega Rabashang Ripu Shanyasya Madhavau Manushya Cheshtam Apanao Rajan Drudruvatura Drutam. O King, seeing the fierce waves of the enemy's army, the two Madhavas, imitating human behavior, ran swiftly away. Vahaya Vittam Pracharam Abhitao Birubhittavat Pajang Padma Palashabhyang Chelatur Bahu Yojanam. Abandoning the abundant riches, fearless but feigning fear, they went many yojanas on their lotus feet. A yojana is approximately 8 miles. Palayamannatau drishva magada prahasambali anvadavad ratandikair ishayora pramanavit. When he saw them fleeing, powerful Jarasandha laughed loudly and then pursued them with charioteers and foot soldiers. He could not understand the exalted position of the two lords. Pradrujadurang sangshrangtau tungam avhutam girim pravarsangyakyam bhagavan nityada yatra varsati. Apparently exhausted after fleeing a long distance, the two lords climbed a high mountain named Pravarsana, upon which Lord Indra showers incessant rain. Gira nili navagyaya nadigam yapadangripa tadaha giram edhobhi samantad agnimutsrijam. Although he knew they were hiding on the mountain, Jarasandha could find no trace of them. Therefore, O king, he placed firewood on all sides and set the mountain ablaze. Purport. Clearly, we are observing one of the Supreme Lord's transcendental pastimes. Although the Bhagavatam states that the two lords, Krishna and Balaram, were exhausted, even in their so-called exhausted state, they are able to climb a high mountain and shortly thereafter jump off it to the ground. It would be unwise and illogical to ignore the whole picture the sages are giving us here and instead try to pick apart isolated descriptions. Clearly, we are watching the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the midst of his spiritual pastimes, we are not observing an ordinary human being. Lord Krishna and Balaram were still quite young men when this pastime took place, and one can easily see in these descriptions how they must have been enjoying themselves, eagerly fleeing from the somewhat ridiculous King Jarasandha, racing up a mountain, jumping off, and totally befuddling the constantly failing demon who somehow or other never lost confidence in himself. Seeing without envy or quarrelsomeness, the Lord's pastimes are immensely entertaining. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapadukamam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagarajatam Sahagana Ragana Dambitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Sabadutam Brijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakambitamscha. The problem is we're looking for entertainment somewhere else. That's the problem. The fact is there's unlimited sweetness, unlimited taste, unlimited rust in the name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, etc., the Supreme Personality of Brahman. So why do we have to go somewhere else to some mundane thing? The so-called entertainment, you see. This is a big fault the neophyte devotees oftentimes face. You see. They find entertainment in other things. The big fault. The big fault. So, as neophyte devotees, we have to learn how to overcome this tendency to find happiness somewhere outside of Krishna consciousness. Because, you know, there's so many things. Family, you know. Devotees get diverted by so many things. Sports, movies, I mean, just you name it. Devotees get diverted by different things. Mundane sporting activities. So many things. So we have to actually find that happiness in Krishna. Everything is in Krishna. Krishna is our only shelter. The only place we can find genuine happiness is Krishna. So how to find that happiness? You see, that is a very important thing. How to get that higher taste in Krishna consciousness, so that the lower tastes no longer appeal to it. It's a very, very important thing. One who can master this art of getting the higher taste, they will never leave Krishna consciousness. And those who do not master this taste, they can leave. And we see many people leave, you see. They didn't get the higher taste. They're attracted to other tastes. So we have to learn how to become totally satisfied with Krishna, 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 Krishna. There's so much flavor actually in this Hare Krishna. Nothing can compete. This is described by Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. Tunde tandavani vrtingvitadatesti tundavali labdiye karna krodha kadambani gatiyate kunarvadebras piham sheta prangana sangani vidayate sravendriyanam kritim no jane janita kriyadbir amritai krishnaiti varnadvai. Rupa Goswami. And he puts it in the Vidagdha Madhava, one of his writings. He says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna have produced. Because when I utter Krishna, there's some Krishna dances on my tongue. And Krishna, when he is dancing on my tongue, there's so much nectar coming out that my one tongue is not enough to catch all the nectar. So Krishna, please give me millions of tongues. And when that Krishna vibration enters the holes of my ears, there's so much nectar, I need to have billions and trillions of ears to capture that nectar. Show me anything in this material world that has that much nectar. Any enjoyable thing, you see? Whether it be sex pleasure or sports or, you know, Hollywood movies, you know, or books or magazines or, you know, surfing. Show me anything in this material world, power. Show me any, even being Brahmaji, even occupying the post of Brahmaji. There's nothing in this material world which can give you that kind of nectar. You understand? There is nothing in this material world that can give that kind of nectar. And it's all there for you and me. In Krishna. So we simply have to learn how to take advantage of it. That's Krishna. And then if we really take advantage of that unlimited nectar oozing out of Krishna, the supreme gulab jamun. You see? The name of Krishna is the ultimate gulab jamun, that's a fact. And it oozes out unlimited oceans of gulab jamun juice. Krishna. You see? So you can be plopping a gulab jamun at every minute, Prabhu. Every minute you can be popping gulab jamuns. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So in this way, you see the yogis, they are struggling to keep their mind under control. Yato yato nischalati manas chanchalam astaram. Krishna explains for the yogis in chapter 6, from whatever and wherever the mind wanders, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. That's for the yogis. Devotees don't have to worry about controlling their mind, at least when they're on the level described by Rupa Goswami. He says, my mind is completely captivated when I taste that nectar of Krishna. And I'm stunned in a state of transcendental wonder. You see? So, you don't have to worry about controlling your mind anymore. Just taste the nectar of Krishna. In fact, Bhaktivinoda advises in that very nice song, you know that vajram? Gai Gormodur Svare Vajram. Very nice vajram. Gai Gormodur Svare. Lord Chaitanya is singing in a very sweet voice. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vana hoelo sheish Nabhaji ledishi kesh Bhakti vinodupadesh Ekpar nam rase matore Bhakti vinodupadesh Ekbar nam rase mato re gai. What is Bhaktivinoda singing? He's saying just once, Ekbar, just one time, relish the nectar of Krishna's name. He's begging us, my dear devotees, if even only one time, if you can even just one time relish the nectar of Krishna's name. You see? If you can do it just even once, you're a liberated soul. Then all of the material desire, it'd be like you sneezed into the Kleenex and you threw it away. Achu, throw it. All the material desire is finished. Just somehow relish that name of Krishna, you see. That is Krishna consciousness. Somehow relish Krishna. Then you will be very solid in Krishna consciousness. You will never leave. You never fall down. So we engage in so many services. That's very good. Sweeping the floor, mopping the floor, stringing garlands, distributing books, making devotees, building temples, studying the scriptures, so many things. But what's the ultimate point of all of it? Develop a taste for the name. Ultimate point of every single devotional activity we do, develop a taste for the name. Because what your taste is determines your next birth. Whatever you have a taste for is what your mind will gravitate to at the time of death. The Christians say, you have to accept Jesus and that's all you have to do. But we see, they don't have a taste for bhakti. They make a show of bhakti, but then after Sunday, after church, what do they do on Sunday? They go over here to McDonald's, you see. Take the family to McDonald's after church. So let's say somehow they enter the kingdom of heaven. God's kingdom. You see. They say, oh Lord, it's so nice to be back here, but oh, by the way, where's the McDonald's? You see. We don't have that. We only have Govindas here, sorry. You know. You see, if one has a taste for blood and flesh, they would not be happy in the spiritual world because everybody there is a vegetarian. It's confirmed in the Bible that the lamb and the lion sit peacefully side by side in the kingdom of heaven. Now, in the material world, if a lamb and a lion are sitting side by side, 10 minutes later, where will that lamb be? In the belly of the lion. You understand? But in the spiritual world, 10 minutes later, that little lamb is still sitting there, you see. Because in the spiritual world, they are not meat eaters, you see. So, what you have a taste for, determines your next breath. If you have a taste for blood and flesh, next body, tiger, you see. Or pig. Is it? What is your taste? When your mind wanders, what does it wander to? Sex life? Money? What does your mind wander to when you just let it wander? Is it? We can see what our taste is in our neophyte state. So the point is, you can't let your mind wander willy-nilly. We neophytes, we have to keep our mind under control. Therefore, we must chant as much as possible. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I was explaining the other day, some of you heard already, some of you have not heard the explanation. I just came back from Vrindavan Dham recently, my wonderful home, spiritual home, and I found a letter there. I was reading the Veda base. Prabhupada told a couple of Japanese boys who were not living in the temple, but they were really appreciated Prabhupada's books and our philosophy. He advised them to chant Hare Krishna mantra 24 hours a day. He said, while you're walking down the street, while you're riding in the bus, while you're taking your bath, when you're doing something with your hands, when you go to take rest, always chant. What is the last Prabhupada saying? So I was thinking, wow, do I really do that? You know, I do my rounds, but am I always chanting when I walk down the street? Am I doing this? But I was thinking, well, you know, this would be really wonderful. I think I should try this. But the mind started saying, no. Sankarshan Das, what are you doing here? Let's not get carried away. I mean, you know, let's not be a fanatic, you know. You finished your rounds, and that's it. Now you can just space out all day long. My mind was saying, don't you dare do this, because I won't have any freedom anymore. I'll just be a slave of Krishna. Please give me the freedom. I mean, I'm willing to go in to tolerate 16 rounds, but after that, you got to let me just wander freely, the mind said. Let me just roam freely. I can think about whatever I want, like a dog, you know, wandering freely without a leash. I mean, what are you trying to do to me? The mind was complaining. But I was saying, no, mind, I'm sorry, you know, I've been listening to you for millions of lifetimes, and now it's time. We're going to listen to Prabhupada, you and me both, okay? Mind? We're going to listen to Prabhupada. And he advises that we should do this. So I started chanting more. And I found this is really something, you know. You can, when you're walking up and down the stairs, when you're getting in the shower in the morning, Hare Krishna, why not? Why not throw some extra mantras in? Because the more you chant, the more, here's the secret, you see, Krishna is, the name Krishna is Krishna. And there is no one more attractive or enchanting than Krishna. So the more you will chant Krishna, the more you become enchanted by Krishna. You understand? And the more you are enchanted by Krishna, the less you are enchanted by Maya. The enchantment with Maya is what has kept us locked into Karma Chakra for millions and billions of lifetimes. So, why not tell Maya, okay, my dear girlfriend Maya, we're breaking up now. It's time to break up. I mean, we've been going steady for millions of lifetimes. I think it's time we break up. From now on, I only have one love, and that's Krishna. And you know, actually, Maya or Durga Devi will be very happy. She's been waiting for that, and she will facilitate us. It's described by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur in his purport to the that verse about Durga Devi in the Brahma Samhita. What is that? 544? Yeah, 543 or 544. There's a whole verse about Maya Devi, Durga. Shrishti stati palaya sadhana shaktireka. That one, that verse in the Brahma Samhita. So there in that verse, purport, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur describes how Maya or Durga Devi will actually facilitate our devotional service. So the point is, the more you chant Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, the more you become enchanted by Krishna. So, you can engage yourself. Am I vibrating the Hare Krishna mantra 24 hours a day yet? Or, how much am I, if I put a little microphone, kept it on 24 hours a day, what percentage of my 24 hours would be filled up with a mantra? That, you know, be honestly, well, we might be embarrassed after a porta to, well, Prabhu, I only did,
you know, maybe 10%. You know, we're embarrassing for us. But the point is, whatever increase you can do is your eternal benefit. Whatever you can do to increase your chanting. Don't stop at 16. 16 is at least 16, you see. Doesn't mean my business is finished. Actually, Prabhupada sarcastically made fun of us one time. He was, Shruti Kirti reports in his book, Prabhupada finished his rounds. He said, 16 rounds, now I can do any damn thing I want. And he put his beast. Prabhupada was making fun of us, of our mentality, actually. That's not Prabhupada's mentality. He was mocking us, our mood, you see. I got my round done, I can do any damn thing I want. I can space out, I can go to the movies, I can sleep, I can go down to the beach and surf. I got my 16 rounds done, I'm a pure devotee now, you see. It doesn't work that way, you know. 16 rounds is the beginning. Now, how much extra chanting will you do every day, you see? On the beads, off the beads, either way. How much extra chanting will you do? That's how you can make very rapid advancement in Krishna consciousness, by seeing every opportunity to chant more, chant more, chant more, chant more, chant more. And the best chanting is preaching. Harinam and book distribution and going out and preaching. That is the most powerful chanting. And when you're not doing that, when you're riding out to your preaching spot, you can be Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Why let the mind space up? Well, I'm going out preaching, so now I can space out on the way to the preaching spot. Why space up? When I'm going to my preaching spot, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. The more you chant, the more you become empowered for preaching also. You want to have a potent impact on this planet to awaken the fallen souls to their dormant constitutional position? Then increase your chanting. Prabhupada explains that one who chants the Hare Krishna mantra without any offense, this is mind-blowing. If you don't believe me, look it up in the CC. Prabhupada says that a person who chants the holy name of the Lord without any offense becomes Jagad Guru, spiritual master of the whole universe. And under his influence, the whole world will take of Krishna consciousness. Simply, one has to become an offenseless chanter of the holy names. So how do you perfect the art of chanting purely? The more you practice, the faster you'll advance. It's like, how does somebody become a good guitar player? The more you practice, you see, it's like the Beatles, for example. They became very, very expert musicians. They were just ordinary kids. They didn't know how to play the guitar. But they practiced like anything. And they worked and worked. And Prabhupada said, by hard work, George Harrison had become a wealthy man. That hard work. He said, by hard work. So they practiced very, very hard to become very, very... have a very good sound from their group, the Beatles. You see. They were just some ordinary bunch of kids playing the guitar. But they practiced and they practiced and they practiced and they worked and they worked and they worked and became very expert. So anything you do, if you will practice it sincerely with a goal to perfect it, then you'll become expert in due course of time. If you practice every day to perfect that activity, whatever it may be, making a garland, offering an arati, distributing books, chanting Hare Krishna, cooking an offering, you see, raising your children in Krishna consciousness, whatever it may be. If you will take it as an art and practice it and perfect it, you see, then you focus your consciousness in that way, then you will actually become more and more expert in that activity. So we should take that chanting as our most important activity every day. How I vibrate the name of Krishna. In what mood do I vibrate the name of Krishna? If you will take that as the most important thing you do every day, you'll find that there's an amazing evolution of consciousness which takes place within your heart. So anyway, are there any questions? Can you please explain the mystery of the birth of Lord Krishna? Why do you say it's mysterious? That's my question. What's mysterious about it? It's not mysterious at all. Krishna can appear, he has unlimited power, unlimited potency. He can appear whenever he wants to appear. Now for us who are in the material nature, it may appear to be mysterious, but that's our illusion. You know, how God can do that. How he can appear without any seminal injection. He's already there in every single atom. So there's no mystery if you actually understand the reality. That Krishna was also he's also born to Mother Jasoda at the same time as Vrindavan. Oh, this mystery he's asking about. Okay. I don't know that one. That's an esoteric pastime that you can read and can read about. I haven't mastered that pastime. There's some amazing pastimes there. It's like the marriage of Krishna and Radharani also in the forest. That's another mysterious pastime. Can a devotee be elevated to the same level as Srila Prabhupada by chanting purely, sincerely, offenselessly? Well, Prabhupada's position is pure devotional service, and anybody can achieve pure devotional service. It's not that only Srila Prabhupada can be a pure devotee. We can also be the pure devotees. But we will never occupy Prabhupada's position as the founder of Sharia. That can never be occupied. But in terms of his position of pure devotional service, of course, you can achieve the same position. But you'll never become the founder of Sharia of ISKCON. We will always be his subordinate servants. Even if we become pure devotees, we will always remain the subordinate servants of Srila Prabhupada. How long does it take to become a pure devotee by chanting? Well, it can take one... It depends on how purely you chant, Prabhu. Can be done in one utterance of Krishna, Krishna, or it can take millions of lifetimes. Depends on the quality of your chant. Maharaj Katvanga, Prabhupada explains, achieved perfection within a minute. Within 1 minute, he achieved perfection. What to do if after chanting Hare Krishna for a long time, we do not develop the taste as you described? Then you have to keep chanting. If you don't get the taste, you just got to keep chanting. That means you have a lot of contamination from previous lifetimes and this lifetime that's interfering with your ability to taste the name. So all of us have that problem, actually. You just have to have faith in the name and keep chanting and avoiding the offenses the best you possibly can. It may take... Be ready for the long haul if necessary, even if it takes millions of lifetimes. Just like there's that one story from Chaitanya Lila. One devotee, his name was Mukunda Dutt. And he was a very, very accomplished kirtan singer. So, he was also singing with the Mayavadis in the kirtan. And Lord Chaitanya heard about this. He wasn't very happy, always singing kirtan with the Mayavadis. Shishi Radha Golokananda Ki Jaya. So Lord Chaitanya said, he's singing with the Mayavadis, I ban him from my association. The devotees were absolutely shocked. He was a very dear member of the Vaishnava community, Mukundadat. And he's banned from Lord Chaitanya's association. Devotees were devastated. What are we going to... What to do? What, they were totally bewildered. How we can break it to him? You know, they couldn't bear to even tell him that he's been banned from Lord Chaitanya's association. So Lord Chaitanya, is Lord Chaitanya tell him, go tell him he'll be banned. He's banned. He won't have my association for a million births. He'll be banned from my association. A million births. Devotees were devastated. But they were told by Lord Chaitanya to go, so they went and told Mukunda, you have been banned. We don't know how to tell you this. But Lord Chaitanya said, you're banned from, because you're singing in the Mayavadis, you've been banned from his association for a million lifetimes. And they were thinking he'd be devastated. He'd collapse on the floor. He'd go completely crazy to hear this. And what did he do? He was jumping in ecstasy. He will see me in a million births. Harivo! 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 And so Lord Chaitanya heard, so let him come back immediately then. So we should prepare for the long haul if necessary. Even if it takes a million lifetimes, we don't mind. We're sticking to this process of chanting Hare Krishna. Whether the Lord liberates me now or it takes millions of births, I don't care. But I'm sticking to this process because I am dedicated to awakening my love of Krishna. You see. Can you please... I don't know that best. How to chant without offenses? Well, you got to read the list. Do your best. And if you remember that Krishna is present, if you will try to feel how Krishna is present, then automatically you avoid the offenses. Prabhupada said like that in one-to-one disciple of his, to feel the presence of Krishna when you chant your japa. So if you will feel the presence of Krishna, then you will naturally not make offense. Does Krishna satisfy our desires or he purifies us from our desires? Both. As your material desires become purified away, then you develop spiritual desires. A devotee is not a dead stone. Desire is a concomitant factor of the living entity. One cannot avoid desire. Even the Mayavadis, they say, my program is to give up all desire, but they are desiring to give up desire. So desire cannot be given up. So, as you material desires go away, you will find that spiritual desires take their place. How do we maintain a prayerful mood in hearing the name simultaneously while chanting japa? The prayerful mood is the mood you need to be in to actually absorb yourself in the sound vibration of the name. If your mood is, my dear Krishna, you may think, well, you know, to be in the mood of Krishna, please engage me in your pure devotional service, that's a different mood than being absorbed in Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. No, it's the same. The more that you have feel the mood of begging Krishna to be engaged in his service, you see, that is non-different from simply being absorbed in hearing the sound vibration of the name. There's no difference. Because the more you can actually feel and meditate on Krishna's presence in the name, your desire to serve him will become stronger and stronger and stronger. So whether you approach from meditating on the name or begging for service, they're the two ways of doing exactly the same thing. Becoming Krishna conscious. So there's either way, whatever works best for you. The mood of prayer, my dear Lord, please save me from this material existence. Whatever mood will help you to fix your mind on the name. Can you please explain the difference between Lord Krishna and Lord Ram? Krishna is the original and Ram is the expansion. The importance of the Bhagavad Gita teachings and the Ramayana. They're both very important. Prabhupada actually wanted to give us the Ramayana, you know, and the Mahabharata as well, but he didn't have time. He told us. He wanted to translate Ramayana and Mahabharata for us. So they are also very important scriptures. But the essence is Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. I am trying to get rid of material desires. If in the long run I still cannot get rid of these, will you ban me from your association? My goodness. I think I'm some kind of cruel tyrant? Hiranyakashipu type character? Actually, I may be a Hiranyakashipu but my duty as Prabhupada's disciple is to represent the mood of Prabhupada. That's my duty, is it? And Prabhupada's mood is never to ban anyone. I mean, Prabhupada is very kind and he's so merciful. There was one thief in India. He was posing himself as an ISKCON devotee. Shaved up, you know, everything. Tilak, neck beads, dhoti, kurta, the full thing. Life membership, a book with all the numbers. He had a fictitious life membership book. He was signing up life members for ISKCON and keeping all the money for himself. He complete facsimile of an ISKCON life membership preacher. A con man. So they caught him. The police had him. And this is in Mayapur. They had him. And they called the police. Turned him over to the police to put him in jail. And then he fell down at Prabhupada's feet and begged mercy. And Prabhupada said, told the police to go. He has begged shelter and forgiveness and begged to take shelter of me, so I must grant him. And the police said, okay, they honored Prabhupada's request and they let the man stay. But then one day they saw him sneaking out of the Mayapur complex with his suitcase, and then they called the police and turned him in. You see? So anyone who's sincerely trying to be Krishna conscious, they'll never become banned. Even if you're a rascal and a rogue, number one, you see, if you sincerely desire to become a pure devotee of Krishna, you'll never, ever, ever be banned from the association of devotees. Not possible. I mean, I think in my own neophyte days, if anybody would have been banned, it would have been me. So I would, you know, My early days, I was very much a wild character. But the devotees are very kind. Prabhupada is very kind. And they gave me every chance to give up my wild nature and become fixed up devotee, you see. So, simply sincerity is all that's required. Okay. The prayer of chanting is to be engaged in the service of Krishna. What happens if someone gets more service than his capacity and refers extra service, refuses extra service? Is it an offense? Well, that depends. It could be you're thinking it's really more than you can do. Actually, you can do it, but your mind is saying no. Then it would be an offense to refuse the service. Or it could be that it really is an overload, and then it's not an offense. So the answer is it depends. It depends. It could just be a cheating mentality. You're lazy, and you use it as an excuse. Well, I already have enough in service now, Prabhu. Don't ask me to do anything. So one has to be very honest. So the best thing is to consult with others, some respected seniors, your spiritual master, some older devotee. See, consult with others. What is your opinion? Do you think I'm properly situated? Because it could be proper, it could not be. It depends on the situation. And I'm sorry for the Rabbu who asked the question about Kali and Krishna Das. I don't know the best. My apologies for not knowing the best. Okay, so our time is up. We thank you all very much for your wonderful participation in this Krishna Consciousness movement. The wonderful Krishna Consciousness movement of the most wonderful spiritual master, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
His Grace Shankarshan Das Adhikari Maharaj ki jai.